This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
A seismic shift.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Today, the Chinese government ordered more than 1 million people to evacuate a valley in central China. Authorities are afraid a lake formed by this month's earthquake might burst and flood the area. There is still so much to do in the aftermath of this quake, but aid money has been pouring in, and that in itself is a very interesting story. We're joined now by our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong. Scott, what's been happening with that?
Philanthropy is not a very well-established concept the way it is in the United States. But after this earthquake, people and companies started giving money in ways they haven't during previous disasters. I mean, the latest tally is domestic companies in China came up with $1 billion just within a few days. Multinational companies came up with $500 million. So there's a sense that there might be a change happening here.
Scott, since you live there, do you sense this as being a permanent shift?
It's hard to know if permanent. What I do see is young people going around saying, did you just hear what that company just gave? Did you hear what this movie star just gave? And an important movie star in this conversation is Jet Li, the action movie star. His foundation is trying to get people to give regularly and to build it into their lives. So that'll be the question, is how long is this going to last?
And from what I understand about foreign companies who are giving in this situation, it's kind of a balancing act. It's a little bit of a double-edged sword, it seems.
Well, people do keep score here. There was a text message that a lot of people got last week, which said, you know, these multinational companies are what in Chinese are called iron roosters. They're the ones who aren't giving anything. They're cheap. McDonald's was one of them on the list, and Samsung. It turns out those rumors were all false, because all of the companies on the list actually gave substantial amounts of money. But the lesson here is this is an environment where we're before the Olympics. There's a lot of pride here in China. And the key for companies is to be on the right side of that sentiment.
Okay, Scott Tong, our correspondent in Shanghai. Thank you.
Okay, Scott. Thanks.
The stock market in China had a pretty good day. Shares were up about 1%. In Japan, the Nikkei gained 1.5%. European shares are up a fraction so far. Wall Street continued its winning streak yesterday. The Dow added 52 points to 12,646. The NASDAQ climbed 21 to 2508. And the S&P 500 was up 7 to 1398. Tomorrow night, Al Gore is hosting a fundraiser in New York. No, he's not jumping into the race. He's raising money for the Democratic Party. It'll cost you $28,000 to get into the room. More now from Steve Henn.
The fundraiser features some of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's biggest financial backers. So maybe it's a good thing it's being hosted by a man with a Nobel Peace Prize. But Democratic activists shouldn't be hoping for everyone in the room to join hands and sing.
They should hope for the ka-ching. There's plenty of time for singing Kumbaya at the convention.
Professor Larry Sabato says the National Democratic Party, led by Howard Dean, is almost broke. But the thing is, Democratic presidential candidates have been cleaning up on the money trail, and the party's House and Senate candidates are raking it in, too.
The scuttlebutt within the party is that Dean's financial team is third or fourth rate. The best people have been drawn into the presidential contests and some of the key battles for the Senate.
Right now, the party itself has just over $4 million in the bank, compared to more than $40 million in cash stockpiled by Republicans. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by FINRA Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor. Online at FINRAFoundation.org.
Every year about this time, states along the coast start eyeing the Weather Channel. The hurricane season starts on Sunday. But even when there's not a direct hit, beach erosion can be tremendous. And after the storm, states spend millions of dollars shoring up those beaches. Dan Gretsch reports from Miami on why coastal cities go to such lengths.
The beach at 29th and Collins is wide and peaceful, perfect for a family picnic. 6 months ago, it had all but disappeared.
We had some erosional problems in this area here that it got down to close to where the dunes are.
That's Carlos Espinoza. He directs the Miami-Dade County agency that oversees beach renourishment.
And then we started a project that essentially relocated sand from the South Beach area over to this area here.
It took 3 months and $2 million to pipe in that sand. As hurricane season approaches, the sand will be a buffer between an angry ocean and about $1 billion in real estate just over the dunes. More than 485 miles, or nearly 60% of Florida's beaches, are eroding. That threatens the state's $65 billion a year tourism industry. Rolando Aiedo is with the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. He says half of all visitors to Miami go to the beach.
It's not just what it physically does, because ultimately it's silicone or it's sand. It's the ambiance that it creates beyond the sand.
Tourist Heather Marie visited from Detroit.
Honestly, I came here for a music festival, so the beaches have been a ginormous bonus. I stayed 3 days longer than I was supposed to come down and see the beaches.
That's three more nights in a hotel, lots of meals out, hundreds of extra dollars. Stephen Leatherman, a.k.a. Dr. Beach, is with Florida International University. He says beach renourishment is a necessity, like fixing potholes in the road. It's also an exercise in futility.
When you put the sand out there, and people don't like to use this term, it is a sacrificial beach. Sooner or later, that sand's going to be moved offshore and will not come back.
After years of drawing down its own reserves, Miami now imports sand from the Bahamas at nearly twice the cost. From Miami Beach, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.